Father, open your word to our hearts and our heart to your word. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. I want you to think a little bit about pop songs for a moment, because many pop songs are about love. Very often they sing about a feeling that life is good now and will last forever. Very often the pop songs are about a couple being together, and perhaps even death cannot separate them. Well, Psalm 16 is a little bit like a pop love song. It's all about a feeling of being secure now and forever. I wonder if you've got your Bibles with you, if you could turn to page 549 as we look at it together. And I want to begin to show you why I think, at least initially, why it's like a pop love song. Have a look at verse 5, for example. There on page 550. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Or look at verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure. And there's this feeling of security, as Ray pointed out, trust. And Psalm 16 is also about a relationship with God. If you just cast your eye over the psalm from verse 1, please notice the you, my, me, your. It's all about a relationship. And Psalm 16 is sung to God in heaven. Verse 11 has effectively that not even death will separate David from God's love. And David's security comes from a relationship with Almighty God. And through Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with the God of love. And we can feel secure about life. And we can feel okay now and forever. So the theme this morning as we look at Psalm 16 is how we can feel secure because we have a relationship with this God. Well, someone here may dismiss Psalm 16 and will say, well, actually I wake often at 2 or 3 or 5 o'clock and I cannot get back to sleep. And there'll be people here who will suffer from anxiety. And you will say, well, what does David know about these feelings of security? After all, he was a privileged man, we read in the Bible. But let's begin by thinking about this little phrase, a miktam of David. Now, when you read the Psalms, the superscription, and that phrase, a miktam of David, is what stands over the psalm, is part of it. And therefore, it ought to be read as Liz read it out. Now just turn over the page, look at page 551, look at Psalm 18, where it begins. This is the superscription, it's part of the psalm. For the director of music of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said. You see, this is part of the inspired text. When you find in your Bibles, particularly in the NIV in italics, that's what's been put in by the modern translators. But in the Psalms, this is part of the psalm. Now, no one knows what miktam means. But if you were to look at Psalms 56, 57, 58, 59, and 60, you'll find that they are, well, you can look at them later, that they are the only other psalms in the Psalter which have a title, A Miktam of David. And what you find is in each of those psalms is that actually they are written when David is facing a period of stress in his life. Maybe some anxiety, maybe he's on the run from Saul, hunted, a fugitive, hungry, desperate for his life. Or there is some other stressful situation. So I think it's a reasonable deduction, it's a guess really, that a miktam is to do with periods of stress in David's life, when he is anxious, when he's under pressure. And so I understand Psalm 16 is how we can feel safe when the circumstances of life are not great, because we have a relationship with God. I want to look at the psalm under two headings, a faithful believer and a faithful God. So let's begin by looking at these opening verses, verses 1 to 4, where the section is all about a faithful believer. Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. Now what do you notice when you read these words? Well, what I notice is that David pours out his heart to God. For David, God is at the center of his life. So you see that in verse 1, when David says, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. David has one point of refuge when the pressure is on, and the place to turn to when the heat is on: God. There's one thing that he values above all. Look at there in verse 2. One treasure. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Yes, one treasure. And he identifies with one people. Look at verse 3. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. And then verse 4 puts it rather more negatively. Now it's a very striking thing that here is David, who is the Lord's anointed, and there are lots of other people whom he could identify with. Maybe other rulers. Maybe the rich, the powerful, the movers and shakers. Maybe his blood relatives, colleagues. But what does he do? He identifies with other faithful believers. Now we know from the Bible David's not perfect, but what we see is that he has an undivided heart. He trusts one person, he loves one person. Now do you see how this contrasts with the way that we tend to understand a faithful believer? We tend to think that a faithful believer is one who gives a slice of his life to God. So we make time for God. We come to church on Sunday. We give him a slice of time. We might read our Bible or say some prayers. And yet what we're doing is just giving God a slice of time. And the rest of life, well, it has to be divided up. Well, there'll be sleep, and there may be for some work. There'll be our various activities that we might do in retirement. Eating. Time for engaging in relationships. Telephoning people. But there's slices of time. And what we're being shown here is that being a believer, being a Christian, isn't about giving a slice of time to God, but about giving your heart to God. You see, faith is about a heart relationship with Almighty God, where we love him. Do you see, when the pressure is on in verse 1, David says, I trust God. And the Christian, for the Christian, when the pressure is on, Jesus is the one I turn to in prayer first. For the Christian, the people you, Jesus, love, I love. The people you abhor, I abhor. And this sense of trust leads to a deep security. Now if verses 1 to 4 is about a faithful believer, verses 5 to 11 is about a faithful God. a faithful God. And let's have a look, please, at verse 5 together. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Well, the words portion, lot, boundary lines all refer to the land. And you may know that when the 12 tribes of Israel entered the land of promise, they had to cast lots for where they were going to live. And David says, he came from the tribe of Judah, he's saying that the portion of land that was given to them is great. What you have promised me, is what David is saying, is fantastic. But remember the words, a miktam of David. David is facing a problem. Maybe he's in a cave, he's maybe on the run. He's not got what has been promised. Do you remember how the Bible describes the promised land? A land flowing with milk and honey. The home of righteousness. A place where you may dwell in safety. Well, God's promise has not come true yet. How can David be sure that he'll get what God has promised? Well, God is faithful. Do you notice he gives guidance? Look at verse 7 and 8. Let's particularly look at verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. David is a believer. He is on the road to life. He's on the path to life. He's been promised an inheritance. And God guides. And we know that in the Bible we hear God's voice. We learn about God from the Bible and how we are to live. And his Spirit is given to us to guide and protect us. And so verse 7 means that God's word strengthens us. Now you can imagine, can't you, that you go to bed full of worry. You've got this thing churning around in your head and you wake 2 o'clock. Or 3 o'clock, or whatever time, 5, and the problem's still there. The worry's still there. The problem's not gone away. But the Bible shows that because you're on the path of life, and you trust God, God will get you to where he's going to get you, to the place where he wants you to go, to meet with him face to face. Look at verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. You see, we, in our circumstances of life, can be stirred. But we're not shaken off the road to life. We will indeed get to the place that God has promised us, for God is guiding us there. So guidance now, and then resurrection later. God gives the resurrection later. Look at verse 9 and 10. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let, and I'll use the marginal reading down at the bottom of the page, your faithful one, see decay. Now if we'd had Psalm 16 on its own, we might not believe that God is truly faithful. But just to keep a finger here, turn on, will you, to Acts chapter 2. Let me read from verse 29. This was spoken on the day of Pentecost. It's a summary of what Peter's first sermon or second sermon was. And he's just quoted in verses 25 to 28. Psalm 16, or most of the last few verses. Verse 29, brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Do you see what Peter's saying? He says, look, God is faithful. In Psalm 16, God has promised that his faithful servant, the Holy One, will not see decay. And what happened? Jesus saw death, but did not see decay. For 3 days later, he was raised, and now he's at the right hand of God. And in Jesus, there's pleasure there forevermore. See, one of the things that we will be for us, if we are believers, is one day, what we are journeying towards is that we will meet the risen Lord Jesus, for he lives. And that is our goal and our destiny. We will meet him face to face, and he will clasp his arms around you and welcome you home and give you a great hug and a kiss. You will feel him and hold him, and he will do the same with us. So on the one hand, we have been told in Psalm 16 there is a faithful believer, and we're also being told there is a faithful God. And therefore we can have feelings of security. So what? First, two things. First is, do you realize that there is a physical resurrection to come? Does it capture your imagination? We have a glorious inheritance as believers. There will be physical homes, physical land, physical work. But it'll be much better than it is here. There'll be no anxiety in the new heaven and new earth. As the hymn goes, solid joys and lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. I don't know if you ever walk past or drive past maybe a house and you think, oh, that's a rather nice looking house. Wonder who lives there. Wonder if I could, I'd love to live there. Or maybe you walk past somebody and you think, that person looks very physically fit, maybe even beautiful. Well, if we live in a world which is under God's curse, what will it be like living in a world which is under God's blessing? That's the first thing. Do you understand that there is a physical resurrection to come? Now, secondly, just look back at verse 9 of Psalm 16. Do you see what he says in verse 9? Therefore, because God is there, because God is faithful, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Are you learning to rejoice like David? A miktam of David. Yes, life can be very hard now. I've no idea what's going on in your lives. But David can rejoice because he knows that God is faithful. And you and I can rejoice all the more because God's faithfulness is even more evident to us than it was to David. For God has raised Jesus from the death, and he who raised Jesus will also raise us. And as we understand the faithfulness of God, of course it makes our hearts glad. And therefore we can have confidence in God. Whatever our circumstances, it might even lead us to speak about him to others. And of course there's no other way to feel secure than to trust a God who is faithful. Well, I wonder whether you can join David and say as he says in verse 2, you are my Lord. Can you say that to him? As we sit, let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that Psalm 16 is a psalm full of confidence about you and about the faithful believer, because you are a faithful God. Thank you that when we can say, you are my Lord, we need not doubt our futures. And we thank you that we can look forward to the day when we are resurrected bodily, physically, into a new world. And our prayer, Father, is that this truth would grip our hearts and minds and so seize them, that we might be people who rejoice in your goodness to us when we don't deserve it, and that we would delight in our Lord. Amen.